Thank you very much, Jerry and Linda. I appreciate that. I feel really good coming back here this morning. I do, because I was feeling kind of old for a while this week. And I got here and I noticed that when Jerry stood up to speak this morning, his glasses were down here. And then when David got up to speak, a little bit younger guy, I think his glasses were a little higher. But I am old, so I'm going to keep mine down around this area. But I did have, another reason that I really like coming here is because of all the food that's going to be served. I think that's wonderful. I always tell my wife, I think we're awfully good Christian people because we love to eat. Love to eat. I had scripture reading all picked out for this morning, but how many of you read the Daily Bread? Did you read this morning's passage? No? Well, anyway, this is what it says at the top. It says, atmosphere of encouragement. And it says this. It says, Paul gave us this short, direct suggestion. Encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 11. And to the believers in Rome, he wrote, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Romans 15 and 2. Recognizing that our Father is so lovingly gracious with us, let us recognize, no, I'm on the same line, let us show God's grace to others with encouraging words and actions. And as we accept one another, in verse 7, it says, let us entrust our spiritual growth to God, to the work of His Spirit, and while we daily seek to follow Him, may we create an atmosphere of encouragement for our brothers and sisters in Jesus as they also seek to grow in faith. Isn't that nice? Last time I was here, I spoke on unity. This time, I want to speak on encouragement because I think encouragement is just as important as unity is. How many of you have ever had the situation happen that when you're reading something, say at home or something, or you're having your devotions at home, only to come to meeting and have the pastor speak on exactly the same passage? Have you ever had that happen? Or I've had it happen a lot of times, especially in the morning meeting that we had this morning, that I'll have a song on my mind and someone else will get up and give it out. And you know, that kind of makes you feel good. It makes you feel good because you didn't have to do it, but it makes you feel good nonetheless. But these things do happen. A lot of people think, well, those are just coincidences, but I don't. I think those are God things. I really believe those are God things. But I felt today that we should look at this word encouragement, not because we don't do this, but sometimes we need to have a refresher course. I think we get a little bit stale, to remind us of what God really expects from each one of us. It's one word, but it's huge content, and it's huge in love and in hope. It can be very supportive. It's a word that some people need, and it's sometimes that we use that word, and it could be exactly what that person needs, just to have a pickup during the day. We're just talking about it at the back. Our world is moving so fast, so fast, that it's hard for us to keep up. And we need that bit of encouragement. We do. Encouragement and hope. We need one another. And I realize, too, that each one of us, when we speak about encouragement, encouraging other people, each one of us have different gifts. I know that. I remember going visiting one time, a fellow, maybe you probably know, Norm Mackey. And I went to visit him one time, and I took a friend with me. And he was our pastor at that time. And Norm was not doing very good. He was really sick. And we went in, and we had a good talk with Norm. We were there close to an hour. And when we come out, this chap said to me, he said, Ross, I'm sorry. He said, but you're going to have to do that from now on. He said, I just can't do it. You know? And this is our pastor. So everybody has special gifts that they can use. So let's use them wisely, because I think it's important. Sometimes it gets to the point, too, where really encouragement is not necessarily going up and talking to somebody, even though that, to me, is one of the best ways to do it, is to make it known your encouragement to them. But sometimes you can encourage people just by being there. There was a story one time of a little boy. He was sent to the corner store. Maybe you know this story. He was sent to the corner store to buy some bread. And he was gone for a long time, and his mom was kind of getting worried. And after a little while, he came home, and his mom said, "Son, where in the world have you been?" She said, "I've been worried sick. And this is just a little guy." And he said, "Well, Mom," he said, "as I was coming home," he said, "I saw a boy by the side of the road, and his bike was broken. So I went over to see if I could help." And she said, "Son, I didn't know that you knew anything about fixing bikes." He said, "Mom," he said, "I don't." "Well," she said, "then how did you help him?" "Well," she said, "I just sat down and cried right along with him," she said. You know, sometimes the encouragement can be just being there. That's all you have to do. It's easy for us to get down. We were talking about that this morning. And to feel like things never go as planned. They're never right. And I feel like sometimes you want to beat your head against a wall to see if the outcome will be any different. But it never does. We get down in the dumps. We get discouraged about our jobs, about our family, about finances, and other things in this world that kind of get us down. We find people that have a tendency as well to let us down. Yet, we let others down as well, even though we don't realize it. And I think that was a good thing for you to mention this morning, but questions that need to be asked and answered. Because sometimes things can be done or can be said that we really don't realize that it's actually happened. And we've had that at our chapel as well. And I think it's very, very good to do that. Yet we can't allow ourselves to dwell on these feelings when we're down in the dumps, because that's not good. And if we keep to the point where we dwell on them, then we get defeated. We second guess ourselves. And when we do that, Satan loves every minute of it. He is right in his glory. It was advertised one time that the devil was putting all his tools on sale. When the date came around, the tools were all laid out, and they were priced, and they were marked for the public inspection. And there were a lot of treacherous instruments. There was hate, there was envy, there was jealousy, there was deceit, there was pride, there was lying, and the list goes on. And as people were looking around there, this one chap came up to him, and he said, "Can you please tell me," he said, "you have another table over here with only one tool on it." And he said, "It's priced extremely high." And he said, "I don't know why." And he said, "It looks like it's almost worn out." The devil replied, "That tool is called discouragement." "Why have you priced it so high?" the man asked. "Because discouragement is more useful to me than any of all the other tools that I have. I can pry open and get inside a man's heart with that tool when I cannot get in with any other tool that I have. It's badly worn because I've used it on almost everyone. Since very few people know that it belongs to me, I can destroy lives and I can take their minds off God. Discouragement is still the devil's greatest tool today, and especially for the Christian. We as Christians, we have the opportunity to fight back. I don't have my Bible up here. I left it over there. But we have the Word of God to fight with. And believe you me, when we get down and we get discouraged, there's nothing like God's Word that will pick you up. Nothing like God's Word. Discouragement is still the devil's tool. Not many people realize he's using them. Maybe he's even using that tool on one of us here today. He could. He could be using it on us, discouraging us, trying to find something that he can just pry in there a little bit. And we have to keep him from doing that. You do. He's working very hard. I believe that he knows that his time is running short. Running short. Life is full of discouragement, discouraging circumstances. Even the most blessed people, the most successful people, the most spiritually mature people can get disappointed and can get discouraged. Sometimes we feel like we've been run over by a Mack truck. And I know I felt that way. And then I don't want to make this a downer kind of a service this morning because we're on encouragement, not discouragement. Believe it or not, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. But I want to say one more thing about that. It says, and I want to say this. You remember the old saying, Mama said there'd be days like this? Eh? And what's the rest of it, Jerry? No. But she didn't say how many, right? She never said how many there would be. That's right. So let us lend a hand by encouraging all others that we can. Because if we don't, and I think by doing this, it helps us to face our own problems. And like I was saying, if we don't, then we end up giving up. And we can't afford to do that. Back in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and 26, 6 to 8, we read this. We are told that Jerusalem was under the rule of King Hezekiah. And we were about to be attacked by the Assyrians. Hezekiah told his men this. He said, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged while facing this vast army. For there is a greater power with us than with them. With them, they only have the arm of flesh. But with us, we have the Lord, our God, and he will help us in this battle. And the people gained confidence from King Hezekiah, the king of Judah. We, ladies and gentlemen, have that same power. We have that same power that we can encourage our people to be strong, to be confident. We can. If we're on the Lord's side, then he is definitely on our side. Definitely on our side. Jesus promised, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus is the great encourager. You won't find anybody greater than that. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, it says this. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion or his encouragement never fails. We are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. When someone loses a loved one to death, God is faithful. God has promised that he'd be there for us. But when we lose someone to death, we generally go along the line, and I like that part because I generally get hugs from all the ladies. But when we go along the line, we come to the people that have lost the loved ones, and we give them a hug. We do. And it's a hug to say, we're so sorry. But it's also a hug to say, but yet we encourage you because we are there for you. Right? We are there for you. And I think that's important. So if God's faithfulness is great, then our faith must be as great as well. A growing faith that helps us to encourage and be encouraged ourselves. I have a lot of papers here, but it's not that bad. As long as I read, it'll get through it quick. There's another little story about encouragement. Now, this story is a little bit longer, but it's a true story. And I would never do it, but this gentleman did it. And it says here, on July the 1st, 1965, a 13.5-foot boat left Massachusetts, destined for England, if you can believe it. It would be the smallest boat in history to ever make the trip. In fact, the boat was so small that the owner named it Tinkerbell. The owner and the pilot of the boat was Robert Mannery. Robert had been a copy editor at the Cleveland Plain Dealer for 10 years, and he was bored. So he took a leave of absence to fulfill his secret dream, and the truth be told, Robert wasn't afraid of the ocean. He was more afraid of the people that were on the shore that would discourage him. So he didn't tell very many people, just a few relatives and his wife, Virginia, who was his greatest supporter and encourager. The trip was anything but pleasant. He spent many sleepless nights trying to cross the shipping lanes without being run over or sunk. Weeks at sea caused his food to become very tasteless. Loneliness caused him to have hallucinations, and his rudder broke 3 times. Storms swept him overboard, and if it hadn't been for the rope that he had tied around his waist, he never would have got back in the boat. Finally, after 78 days, which is amazing to me, alone at sea, he sailed into England on August the 17th. During his many nights, he fantasized about what he would do when he got to England, and he planned that he was going to go to a hotel and get some good rest and have a good meal. And then after that, then he was going to go to the Associated Press and see if they would be interested in his story. The word of his approach spread. To his amazement, 300 boats with horns blasting escorted the Tinkerbell into port. Over 40,000 people were screaming and cheering from the shore. Robert Mannery became an overnight hero, but he could have done it on his own. Standing on the dock was an even greater hero, and that was his wife, Virginia. She had refused to be critical. She never was negative with her husband's trip. She gave him constant encouragement, which helped him pursue and complete his dream. The world today needs more people like Virginia Mannery. True story. Encouragement, if you can do it, speak it. If you can't do it, be there. I think those are the most important things. We have a lot of people in our area, and I believe you probably do here, that are hurting people. They're hurting not only because of sickness, not only because of their health, but they're hurting because they lack the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And the greatest gift that you and I can give anyone is to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is through encouragement. Encouraging one another. Getting together here, even in the chapel, and encouraging each other. And I don't mean by saying, oh, you look so nice today, or your hairdo is wonderful. I mean, go up to that person and say, how are you today? Can I help you? Is there something going on that I can pray for? You know, I'd like to be there for you. I went out with a gentleman the other day. We went out for coffee at Tim Hortons. 2 hours later, we left. He just wanted to talk. That's all he wanted. That's all he needed. He just wanted to talk. And it's so very, very important. Everybody, including us, we need to have somebody that's close by. Somebody near. We do. Jesus said that he came into this world to serve. Not to be served, he came to serve. You remember how he washed the disciples' feet? You remember? That's a servant. That's humility. That's humility. That's encouragement. He doesn't put anything over our heads. He simply says, come to the well of encouragement and drink. The Apostle Paul, he was another one who was a great encourager, which we just read some about. He was a great encourager. He was a man that went from being persecuted, or being a persecutor, to persecuted because he met the Lord Jesus Christ. What a change in that man's life. Now there's a story, if you want to read a story. Read it about Saul of Tarsus, and then the Apostle of Paul will suddenly appear. It's amazing. It's amazing. In Colossians chapter 3 and 16 says this, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach." Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I move this thing up and down so much because I'm nervous, you see. That's what it is. Yeah, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish," or encourage, "one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of praise. From the Spirit, singing to God with all gratitude in your heart." You know, we can't lead anyone to the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have him here. We can't lead anyone to Jesus Christ if we walk along with a long face. I think I told you the story one time about the little girl who was walking down the street. You probably don't remember, but I lived in Peterborough. How many of you remember the horse-drawn wagons that used to bring the milk? Anybody? Oh, good, good. Thank you very much. I feel much younger now, I do. Well, this little girl was walking down the street and she said, "Dad," she says, "look at that horse." And he says, "Yes." She says, "My, that horse must be an awful good Christian, Dad." And he said, "Why would you say that?" And she said, "Well, look how long his face is." We don't need that. We don't need that, folks. We don't. Because we are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you and for you and for you." Jesus said, "I know the plans that I have for you, and they are plans to prosper you. They are not to harm you. They are plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I tell you, if that's not encouragement, I don't know what is. Also, in Luke, this is making up for not having scripture reading up here. You see, I'm giving it to you now. In Luke chapter 24 to 27, it says this. At the Lord's table before Christ died, if we listen to what was going on, there was actually a dispute among the disciples to see who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that." Ladies and gentlemen, you are not like that. "Instead, the greatest among you shall be the youngest, and the one who rules like one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves?" Is it the one who sits at the table? There's a question mark there. Or the one who serves? "I am among you as one who serves," Jesus said. "I'm among you as one who serves." You know this Jesus of mine? I hope you do. Of Kevin's, of Jerry's, Linda's, Debbie. Bill. Do you know my Jesus? He's the greatest thing there ever was. He is the greatest thing. He's the one that King David called the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. "I have a plan for your life," Jesus said. "I have a plan for your life." Well, do we know him? Do we just pick up our Bibles on Sundays to come to meeting? Or do we pick them up during the week and just get a blessing each time we do? We need to know him better. Someone once said, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will never forget you." What I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that you and I are in the encouragement business. That's the business that you and I are in, the encouragement business for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way our world is going today, we can't wait. We cannot wait. And I think it's great. I love coming here because this is a Bible teaching church. This is a Bible teaching church. And that's where I would want to be. That's where I would want to be. In conclusion, we might get out of here early yet, you know. Jerry, what do you think? I'll do this quick. Okay. Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17 says this: "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another," or encourage one another, "with all wisdom," again through psalms, through hymns and songs and from the Spirit, "singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let me repeat that. "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Isn't that wonderful? We heard this morning that we can't come to God unless we come through Jesus. And that's the way we have to go. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And let's just have a word of prayer, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks, our Heavenly Father, for allowing us another day. We give you thanks for your presence in this place. We give you thanks for the Holy Spirit in this place. We give you thanks because you are above all, in all, and through all. We just have to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of salvation, for the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died and he shed his precious blood. And as that precious blood rolled down the cross and it dripped onto the ground, it was for me. It was for each one of us. We are so blessed. Without the shedding of blood, it says in Scripture that there is no remission of sin. Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we leave this place today, that you would be with each one of us. That you would just pick us up and just bless us. Encourage us through your word. Lord, let us take time to hear your voice, that we may know just what you'd have us to do, because you are the one with the plan for our life. Lord, we can make all kinds of plans on our own. We can do all kinds of things on our own. But to know your will and to know your way, we have to become personal with you. And we have to realize that you are in control. Lord Jesus, bless each person here that's in this room. I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless them with the gift of encouragement, no matter how it comes. No matter how it comes. Lord Jesus, let us encourage one another. And let's keep looking up. Let us keep looking up, because there is coming a day that Jesus will come for his children. And I pray with all my heart that we would be ready, that we would know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Lord, this has been a wonderful morning for me to see these folks that I've known for a while. And I just thank you for that. So just bless Grace Bible Chapel, I pray. Put your loving arms around her and hold her tight, because you love your church. And you will build your church because you've promised to do that. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and give you thanks. Amen.